Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
America's largest all-sports radio station presents the number one motorsports show for over two decades, Track Talk, brought to you by Rod In Supply and the PowerEye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Here are the racing boys, Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810. It's all brought to you by Rod In Supply, featuring the PowerEye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Got a good show lined up for you today. We've got an interview with Brian Hulbert that we're going to play, and Trenton Barry. And we want to thank, who's back there working for us at 810? Kyle's back there working at 810.
Yeah.
So we want to thank Kyle for working back there at 810 for us, and Todd Surprise at, right here at RBN, the Race of Boys Broadcasting Network, flipping all the switches, doing all the stuff that he does with the live video each and every week. And how you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing great. You just got back from Indy. You spent a day at the PRI show.
I spent one day down there at the PRI show.
And what did you learn in your one day at the PRI show walking around? What's the biggest thing that you came away with?
Well, most people are talking about the high limit in the World of Outlaws.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what everybody's talking about right now.
Yeah,
and so Rico has announced that he's going to run full time with the High Limit Series.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and this surprises a lot of people. And in a way, I am surprised, but in other ways, I'm not. When you understand what great friends Rico is with both Kyle and Brad,
right?
You can kind of understand, you know, why he would. Why he would latch on to one series or the other. And the other reason would be, and we haven't had a chance to talk to Rico for a while, tried to get a hold of him here over the last couple of weeks, but he's getting ready to go to Australia, so I'm not sure we'll be able to talk to him before he heads to Australia. But he talked with Jeremy Elliott of Sprint Car Unlimited and talked about why he is doing what he is doing. And he said, and I quote, "I think that what they are doing is very important to our industry. What they've been doing internally behind the scenes that not everybody sees with the safety team and understanding of the charter side of the business with the revenue share, those are the major things that have potential and can grow and the high limit to a bigger level." Now, this is the first time that we've really seen anything said about the charter system. So this would be kind of like NASCAR with their ownership and revenue sharing. It appears that High Limit Flow are going to share video revenue with these teams. And not necessarily the case with the World of Outlaw drivers, right?
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
So that's a little bit different twist that we haven't heard about what they're going to offer these teams that sign up for the High Limit Series.
Well, that is a great incentive.
Yeah.
To share some of the revenue that Flo is going to get from the High Limit Series with the teams. I think that's pretty good a pretty good plan for them, because Dirt Vision doesn't give anybody any money, right?
No, it's just tow money. They've increased the tow money, and they've also increased the bonus money if you run their full series. But I haven't heard any talk of revenue sharing from Dirt Vision, which is owned by the World Racing Group, which owns the World of Outlaws. That's all in one camp. I haven't heard talk about dividing up the video revenue with the Dirt World of Outlaw drivers.
Right.
But we're hearing it with the High Limit drivers, and you and I know as well as anybody, Flow Racing's got a lot of resources.
Oh, yeah. Now,
that's a big company.
That is a very big company right there. So, as we know, Kirk, as we sold the rights to the Chili Bowl and the Tulsa Shootout to Flow, And we were very blessed to be able to get that thing done with Flo. And we did it for the first year. We did the broadcast for him.
Yeah. We worked for Flo the first year they had it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let's be honest here. Flo Racing, I think, got a lot more money than World Racing Group.
I'm not going to get into the amount of money that the difference between Dirt Vision and Flo. I'm not going to get in there because I believe that Dirt Vision has done very well for themselves over the years.
Well, you said this many times.
Right.
You think the production quality of Dirt Vision is better than Flo Racing.
I think you
said that.
Now, listen, we got to see what Flo brings
right.
to the High Limit Series
yeah.
for this year.
Now, we've seen great broadcasts on Flo Racing
right.
From Eldora Speedway, a lot of the Dirt Late Model Crown Jewel events. They step it up, and they are on the level of production
sure.
with Dirt Vision on some of their major events, but not every event on Flo Racing. And I think a lot of it has to do with they've got a lot more content to offer than Dirt Vision.
Well, they have over 2,500 races on Flo.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
So you can't make everything
right.
great
right.
like Dirt Vision can. But
do you think, Kirk?
I think they'll probably step it up in the sprint car.
With the High Limit Series.
With the High Limit Series, yeah.
So do you feel that they will step it up enough to where they're equal to Dirt Vision on the High Limit Series? Do you
That's
think?
A possibility.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things on the inside that Rico revealed about what they're offering the ownership that we haven't heard before.
We've got to go with Chase Rodman. Chase Rodman has decided to be the voice of the High Limit Series.
That's big news for us.
That was big news for us. And just so everybody knows, Chase Rodman will be on with us weekly with the High Limit Series as well. And we've also secured Connor Wade, who is going to replace Chase Rodman over there with the World of Outlaws. And he's going to be on our show each and every week as well on Mondays.
Right.
Right.
And we know Connor Wade very well. He worked for us at the Chili Bowl.
He worked for us. And
great job. He does a great job.
He's very studious. He is a guy that is a lot like Chase Rodman.
Studious.
Studious. Very studious.
Does his homework.
Does his homework.
Works
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
He'll step right in where Chase Rodman left off and do a great job. Now, this is a big deal for Chase Rodman. And anybody that's listened to our show over the last year knows he's been a regular contributor to Racing Boys. We've had him on every week. And give us the lowdown of what's happening on the World of Outlaws Trail. Now he'll be doing it from the High Limit Series as their main announcer. I'm really happy for Chase that he's gotten this opportunity. This is an opportunity, Scott, he couldn't turn down.
He
was offered this. I think he had to take it.
I'm not sure if that was the right move for Chase Rodman or not, because to be honest with you, the World of Outlaws were very good to Chase, to be honest with you.
They were, but he was not going to be their main announcer at the World of Outlaws. That Johnny Gibson.
He was never going to be the announcer.
Right. Johnny Gibson's got that covered, and it doesn't look like Johnny's going to retire anytime soon. So
no, Johnny's not going to retire anytime soon.
It's a big opportunity. I think he's going to get a big bump in pay for being the main announcer, one would
right.
assume, from a pit reporter to a main announcer. I think that I'm assuming that High Limit offered him a pretty good deal here. He couldn't refuse.
But I've got to say this about Connor Wade. Connor Wade is as studious as anybody when it comes to whatever he does in broadcasting.
Yep.
He is so studious, and he does such a good job. And I believe that Connor Wade is going to do an excellent job over there with the
yeah,
World
he'll,
Outlaws.
Yeah, he'll hit the ground running. And he'd already been working for Dirt Vision over there. He was
right.
doing the pit reporting for the Hell Tour and the Extreme Midget Series. So he'll step right in and keep it on.
And what I believe, you know that Chase Rodman, he did a lot of special little packages, and I believe that they're going to be able to do that with with Connor Wade, he's going to be doing that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, so Connor Wade.
You know, little special packages, right, where they do these little packages, yeah, right?
They didn't waste any time naming Connor Wade the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws when Chase Rodman was announced announcer for High Limit.
I think it's a great hire, really, yeah, to be honest with you. Connor Wade is as good as they get, really, to be honest with you.
The big question is, who's going to help Chase Rodman on the Flow Racing broadcast? Who's going to be the pit reporter for Flow Racing? So he's not going to be the only voice on there, so it'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
Maybe I'll put in an application.
You want to get back out on the road?
I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind getting back out on the road.
Yeah, you do a good job with that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be their first call.
It's a no-brainer. Nobody wants old dudes. They all want the young people now, right? Everybody that's in our industry that does live pay-per-view is a young person now, right? They don't want us old farts. They don't want us.
I'm thinking somebody like Georgia Henneberry or somebody like that. She's out there.
Well, I'm not sure that she would. Do you think she'd leave the World of Outlaws?
Well, Georgia Henneberry's already been working for Flo and doing a lot of different things. She did a lot of pit reporting for the All-Stars last year. So
yeah,
she's already been doing
Flow stuff.
So she'd be the first person to come to my mind. So we'll see what they do there. But right now, here are the drivers for High Limit Racing: Brad Sweet, Casey Kane, Jacob Allen, Corey Eliason, Zeb Wise, Justin Peck, and now Corey Day has been announced as a full-time driver. It was first announced earlier in the week that he was just going to run the 11-race midweek tour, but now
he's going to run full-time.
He's going to run the full High Limit Series, and Brennan Crouch is the other full-time driver.
Listen, Corey Day is an exceptional driver, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him battling for that championship with Brad Sweet. Would you?
And Rico would be the
Rico is another guy
that would challenge for that championship for sure. So, and Jacob Allen, don't count him out.
Yeah.
So those are the drivers.
Or Justin Peck, really.
Yeah.
You can't count him out because he's a very talented driver as well.
That's a pretty solid group of full-timers so far, and there's more to come. What's Brent Marks going to do? What's Tyler Courtney going to do? And we're still waiting on what Carson Macedo and Phil Dietz is going to do. They've not announced which direction they're going to go.
Right.
Here are the full-time World of Outlaw drivers so far: David Gravel, Sheldon Hodenshield, Logan Schuart, Dominic Selzy, Brock Zierfoss, Landon Crawley, who's the new driver for Jason Sides in that 7 car, replacing Robbie Price, Bill Rose, and now Donnie Schatz has announced that he's going to continue on with the World of Outlaws next year.
Well, that was a no-brainer, right? I think that Tony Stewart is very loyal to the World of Outlaws. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised about that.
I'm not surprised.
I think Donnie Schatz probably made that call more than even Tony Stewart.
Right.
I think Tony would have been good wherever Donnie Schatz won the race.
And just so you know, all these stories are up on racingboys.com, right, Kurt?
Right.
Every one of these stories that we've just talked about are on racingboys.com. And if you don't know, we have a new website, and you need to get over there and take a look at it. It's really user-friendly, isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah, it's we've updated it here over the last couple of months, and we're still efforting on getting all of our video library up there, including past Chili Bowls and so forth, so we're still working on that. And the content, $6.50 per month for all our video content.
Right.
We'll be adding some new things in 2024 as part of the membership section, so we'll be working on that as we go.
We'll probably go out and do a little bit of local racing here, maybe a little bit.
We are?
Maybe. Maybe.
You just kind of brainstorm these things right on the air here, don't you?
Right. Well, you know, the problem is that we're not going out. We're not traveling on the road anymore.
Right? We're still going to a lot of local races.
We're going to go to some local races.
A lot of high limit races in our neighborhood too.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now. You think about Lake Ozark Speedway, Lucas Oil Speedway, I-70, and Lakeside. The only racetrack that the World of Outlaws are going to be coming to is at US 36, right?
In our Kansas City immediate area.
Right, right.
Or you got to go to Knoxville to watch the World of Outlaws. And if you go to Knoxville to watch the World of Outlaws, you're likely going to get a lot of high limit drivers there because high limit is not scheduling up against any of the three World of Outlaws events at Knoxville this year, including the Knoxville National.
You know what? What's so curious is to me is that they take the entire month of March off. Isn't that crazy?
I guess they figure, why bother to schedule races if they're all going to get rained out? Now, World of Outlaws got a full month of events in the month of March. We'll see how many of them they get in. So a lot of people worry about the weather in the month of March, no matter if you're in Texas, in the South, or wherever you're at.
Yeah.
It can be troublesome, there's no doubt. So we'll see if that's a good call by the World of Outlaws to schedule all those races in March. And the high limit, they're not going to race from late February to early April.
Yeah, Kaylee Bryson is going to be running full-time with the USAC and Silver Crown. How about that?
And she's also going to be running some Trans-Am races next year. So that's a little bit of pavement action there for Kaylee.
Well, it's about time, really.
Looks like Jade Abadishian's also going to run a pavement road racing tour along with her more limited midget opportunities this year. Hey, I'm just going to get back, just finish up the sprint car stuff going on. We talked about Carson Macedo. He's not announced. He and Phil Dietz, they've not announced
where they're going.
Where they're going to go next year. Mm-hmm. Now, most people assume they're going to be World of Outlaws next year. I'm not so sure about that. If you look at Carson Macedo's Twitter page, he put a post up there on December the 1st, a poll. Who's got the better schedule in your opinion? Well, High Limit was voted 60.3%, World of Outlaws 39.7%. Now, Carson Macedo put that poll up there. What do you think? Who's got the better schedule? Well, in this poll, High Limit's got a better schedule. Then Carson puts another tweet up on December 6th. That would have been Wednesday. He said, the competition in me is pumped for World of Outlaws versus High Limit Racing battles all year long this year. What a time to be in the sport of sprint car racing.
That tells me he's going World of Outlaws.
I don't know what to read.
Listen,
into that.
They have more dates, right? The World of Outlaws has more dates. How many dates do they have? Probably about 80 or 90.
Yeah. But if you're a high limit driver.
And if you're a high limit driver, you're only going to get about 50, right?
Yeah, but if you're a high limit driver, you're going to run much more than that because, remember, you're free as a high limit driver to
run with the World of
Outlaws. As many other races as you want to run. So you can still run the High Limit Series and show up at all the Crown Jewel events.
Let me ask you this,
Kurt. The World of Outlaws still sanctions.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the World of Outlaws are going to have a problem with the high limit drivers coming over there and running with the World of Outlaws when they show up? Do you think they will?
I don't think they'll like it much, but how can you turn down drivers that will come and run your events?
Right.
Why would you want to turn anybody away from your events? And if you're a promoter, if you're the Marion County Fair Board and you're a promoter, why would you want anybody to turn anybody away that wants to come run your events? That wouldn't make any sense.
Well, it wouldn't, but I'm telling you, the World of Outlaws is going to be a little raw over that.
Well, they already are raw over all of this.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So how's it all going to play out? Buckle in. It's going to be fun to watch. You and I, we've got no dog in the hunt.
We're just
watching what's going on.
Hey, listen. The fact is that we're going to go to a lot of these races around this area, right?
Yeah. And we're going to have both Connor Wade from the World of Outlaws and Chase Rodman to talk about it every week.
every week.
You know, we'll bring them on. They'll give us a lowdown on all of it.
Connor Wade is committed to us to be on every week with us. Chase Rodman, I talked to him. He's committed to being on every week with us. So we're going to have the World of Outlaw Pit Reporter, and we're going to have the voice of the High Limit series, Chase Rodman. He's going to be joining us on the show.
I guess the big question is, are the fans going to be shortchanged by all this? I don't know.
They're still going to
see high-level drivers in both series, at least this year.
Right.
But how's it going to play off a year from now, 2 years from now?
Hey, Kirk, when they go west, that's when they're going to have the problem.
Well, there's $200,000 to win shows on the High Limit Series out west. One at the Gold Cup and the other one at Skagit Speedway.
Yep.
So they'll still draw a pretty good number of drivers out there.
All right. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, more of Track Talk right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. We'll be back with more in a moment right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 23 years Kirk and I have been on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's been a long run, hasn't it, Kirk?
Pushing that silver anniversary.
We're pushing for the silver anniversary,
25
years.
I'll probably still be around when that happens.
I'll be around, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
I'm not thinking about retiring anytime soon. Yeah. I'm planning on, we've got such a good studio down here at RBN, the Race Boys Broadcasting Network, that I'm not sure that I'll ever quit doing podcasts. I might never stop doing it.
It's too much fun.
It's too much fun.
Hey, I just want to clarify. To be honest, I don't know how much money any of these players have. We don't know.
Right.
All I can tell you is Flow Racing's got a lot of resources.
They got a lot of money.
We know that.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be a big battle unlike anything that we have seen before. We've seen challenges to the World of Outlaws before. This is different. You'd agree with that, Scott, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is different because there's a lot more money at play, the challenger coming in to the supremacy of the World of Outlaws. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I just don't want the fans to get shortchanged in all this, that's for sure. Well, there's one event that fans do not ever get shortchanged. That's the Chili Bowl. That's coming up soon. What are we, about a month away?
Yeah, about a month away.
Tulsa Shootout coming up starting, the day after Christmas? So there's one guy that knows a lot about all of that.
You're better with the dates than I am, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, it's between Christmas and New Year's, the Tulsa Shootout.
Right.
That's a big event. But there's one guy that knows more about this event than anything. Well, both events, Tulsa Shootout and Chili Bowl. That's Brian Hulbert. He's the voice of both events, and we had him on Monday on Mostly Motorsports. To give us a preview of not only the Chili Bowl, but the ASCS. We'll hear from him about the ASCS a little bit later on in the show. But right now, he gives a little bit of a preview coming up of what's going to be happening indoors in Tulsa, Oklahoma over the next month. And here's a portion of that interview we had with Brian Hulbert from earlier this week.
Brian, how you doing, bud?
Doing all right. More focused on small cars and big cars these days.
Now, so let's start off by talking about the Chili Bowl a little bit. I noticed that there was 140 cars that have checked in, but we know that number is going to increase to somewhere over 300 cars, right?
It's 172 as of today. In fact, before you called, I was working on getting all that in the website, so we're about on pace with the rate that the entries came in last year.
Yeah, no doubt.
It won't be long if you start putting the track in, the Expo Center. Got the Tulsa Shootout, the Chili Bowl coming up, Brian. We touched on a little bit about the entries coming in for the Chili Bowl. Let's talk about Shootout. Any big changes for the big event coming up right after Christmas?
other than it's ending on a Sunday this year. About every 10 years or so, the calendar rolls around where we race on a Sunday, and this be one of them. And it's interesting because we're not racing in 2024, but it is the 2024 event, and that happens about every 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting trying to explain to people, like, no, this is really the 2024 event. It just happens to end on New Year's Eve. Next year, the calendar will correct itself, and we'll be, you know, splitting New Year's like normal. But the pace that the entries are coming in for the shootout is mind-boggling.
How many do you have so far, Brian?
It's over 30. It was 1339.
Wow.
I don't have the press.
Already?
Like 1339. So to put that into perspective, last year we were 7 entries off of the overall record at the event. But we had over 1,600 drivers, like 1,665, that drew in. That was a new record for entries that were actually tallied, and yes, we are racing.
Right.
When we cut off on December 15th last year, when we cut off the pre-entry prior to the event, we were 1,530-something.
Wow. Do you think
we're already almost there?
Do you think we'll break the record this year?
We're on record watch.
Right.
Because so, the deadline for discounted entry was last week. And when Matt left here, he had a stack in his hand of entries that he had written out that looked like War and Peace.
Wow.
Can you get all those entries inside the building?
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because the good thing is you'll have a guy that enters 4 classes, but it's 1 car.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. So, ends on a Sunday this year, and the Chili Bowl, we see that Logan Seavey is going to be back driving for Kevin Swindell again this year, right?
Yeah, I know. There was some question about that because, you know, he'd been driving for Abacus, but, I mean, you got to dance with the one that brung you. You know, what him and Kevin and Jordan did last year was amazing. Their first year as car owners, and with Kevin's experience to come in, and with Jordan supporting him like that, to come in and pull off a win, it was just incredible.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and not only that, Kevin came in as a champion car owner for the shootout with Gavin Bochelle.
Yeah, no doubt.
So he may not be racing, but that doesn't mean he's not winning drillers.
Right. The only bummer is that Rico's going to be over in Australia racing, and Kyle Larson, he's decided that he's not going to come back to the Chili Bowl. He's going to go do some late model racing. How much is that a factor into bringing people into the Expo Center?
Hard to tell. I mean, if you want to race, you can race. You know, Rico has wanted to go to Australia forever. And to finally get the opportunity to do that, absolutely. But he'll be back.
He'll be back to Chili Bowl.
Sure. No doubt.
He's not, you know, Rico is a man of the fans. He's a racer's racer.
Right.
If you want to go run late models, go run late models. That's fine.
You know, this opens up opportunities for other people to win the Chili Bowl.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
It does. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, the race last year, okay, so if other players are in the game, does Logan win the race?
Right.
But at the same time, as determined as they were, I don't know if anybody was going to beat them.
Yeah, no doubt
about
it.
So Tanner Thorson, Logan Seavey, and Sammy would be the 3 former champions that would be there this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, no
doubt. I think somebody new is going to win this year. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that Justin Grant has the best chance to win this year.
You know, I feel like every year coming in, Justin's right there. And
right.
It always goes back to, it's the 5-cent part that screws you.
Right, no doubt.
You know, I feel like that he's been snake bit by that, but he's due. I feel like that Chili Bowl luck has to swing around and finally pay off for him. I'm hoping.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I think he gets it.
If there's anybody in that building I feel like has been so close but so far in the last 5 years with him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Justin Grant has a really good opportunity to win this year, Kirk. What do you think?
No question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's won the other big crown jewel events, the BC39 and Turkey Night Grand Prix over the last year. So Chili Bowl would be next, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And it's kind of ironic that the two big players at the USAC banquet last night, the two big stars of the show, were Justin Grant and Logan Seavey.
And, you know, it's kind of a bummer that Christopher Bell can't run the Chili Bowl. Isn't that kind of a bummer? Don't you think?
Do you think that he, if it were given his choice, because Christopher kind of lets on like, well, you know, it's kind of my decision. I need to focus in on what I'm doing with NASCAR, or is it?
That dude,
I think he's totally focused on NASCAR right now.
He's totally focused on NASCAR, but that dude's an Oklahoma guy, and
he wants to win that Chili Bowl.
He wants to be there because if you're an Oklahoma kid growing up in Oklahoma, there's nothing more than you want is to have as many drillers on your mantle as you. And so I agree with both of what you're saying. Yeah, he's going to play by whatever rules that the boss man is going to. You know, and he's focused on NASCAR to get as many. He wants to be the champion in NASCAR.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
And that's where he's driven.
And he's going to be the champion.
Oh, he will be.
He'll eventually be a champion.
Yeah,
eventually. Yeah, he came so close this year, didn't he?
Yeah, he made the final four a year ago.
Right.
Too, so yeah, he's going to be a champion. I ended up watching the NASCAR banquet on Peacock, tape delayed version.
Right.
We should have been able to talk about this last week, but hats off to Ryan Blaney. Great speech he gave. It's one of the better championship speeches I've seen. The way he delivered it, I thought was just terrific. So if you get the Peacock Network, you want to back and touch on that. But also, his dad, Dave Blaney, got a lot of airtime during that speech as well. He talked about his dad a lot,
right.
Dave Blaney, and how he learned how to race from his dad, who was the World of Outlaw champion himself, and he teared up when he started talking about his grandfather, Lou Blaney, who was a legendary driver himself. And I thought it was really cool that Ryan Blaney, who never drove a sprint car that I can remember, he grew up around sprint car racing, and he learned from his dad, and he really threw it out there to both these parents last night, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
A week ago Thursday is when the banquet was.
But. So you think it was one of the better speeches that you've heard?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the way he delivered it, you know, a lot of them are canned. They're reading off a teleprompter. They
right.
don't do a very good job.
Did he ad-lib? Did he ad-lib?
Pretty much ad-lib that. You know, he had some notes he was working off, too, but it was really, really good the way he did that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get
Hats
to watch.
Off to Ryan Blaney.
I didn't watch it.
Is there a more... You know, I know Chase Elliott gets the most popular driver of the award every year, but
Ryan Blaney's got to be getting
there
close.
Is there anybody that hates Ryan Blaney or doesn't like? Everybody likes Ryan Blaney, don't they?
I think everybody does.
And we've had him on our show a couple of times. Couldn't be a more cool guy.
Right.
He's just a great guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
And that would be a tribute to his parents, right?
Well, listen. You think about the history of the Blaney family. His uncle, his dad, they're great sprint car drivers. And still, maybe even now, are still really good sprint car drivers, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They still, Dave is still out there driving a sprint car every
right.
now and then.
Yeah.
And he won a feature here over the last year.
Where did he win that feature at, Kirk? Do you know?
I think it was Sharon Speedway, wasn't it?
Sharon Speedway?
That's home ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale Blaney, he hasn't driven a sprint car for a while, though, has he? Or a couple of years? I haven't seen Dale Blaney in a sprint car.
No, I think he officially retired.
Yeah.
Don't you believe he?
But he was a great driver.
But how many championships did he win?
All-Star champion
with the All-Star
multiple times.
He won the All-Star championship many times.
I'm not sure
there's
a driver that's won more All-Star championships than Dale Blaney.
Right.
I'd have to look that up. But it was just really a cool thing to watch. Ryan talk about his family, his heritage growing up around, watching his dad racing, and where he's at today. It's That, to me, is the epitome of just what it's all about with racing. He gets it.
Right.
He didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He learned it
the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He learned it the right way.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, great championship event because it was Ryan Blaney that won the title.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of amazing. He had a bad summer. There was like 2-3 months last summer he didn't really run well at all. Nobody was thinking about him last July being a champion.
Right.
But it was only until he won at Talladega that everybody thought, okay, wait a minute, here's Ryan Blaney. And then he wins again, and then he does what he did at Phoenix. So,
yeah, no doubt about it.
Great job.
Ryan Blaney is going to be a great champion
yep.
for the sport.
Yeah, he's going to represent.
Yeah,
NASCAR
he's going to represent
well.
Him well, right? Kirk, let's talk about what's going to happen down at the Gateway Nationals, man. That thing's coming up here pretty quick.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
They got over 200 entries.
Right.
Total in both
is that late models?
I think that's both late models and modifieds.
Uh-huh.
So that starts, next Thursday?
I'm thinking about going down there.
Well, it's only 4 hours down the road. Why not? You just drove eight hours to Indianapolis.
I just drove straight through there.
You drove right by there coming back the other
right,
day.
Right, I did.
Going and coming. So they got the track, I think, pretty, it looks like from some of the pictures, they've got the track already installed inside the Dome at America's Center, so they're ready to go to it. There's some, if you look down through the entry list of some of the late model drivers, Bobby Pierce, who we had on here a couple of weeks ago, Tyler Erb, who won this race last year after his dad died, and Hudson O'Neill's going to be driving a Boom Briggs car during this event this year, and there's a host of other drivers. That Jimmy Owens, we see him on the list. That's a pretty large list of late model drivers, Scott. But modifieds also, and I imagine most of the modifieds are going to be the UMP variety that normally races in that area.
Right.
Out there.
No doubt.
So Flow Racing will be carrying all that if you're not able to make it out there.
All right, we're going to take a break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Track Talk. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. We'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in a moment. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Where did we want to go now, Kirk?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum up there. A lot of people doing a little Christmas shopping. And they've got what you need for your racing
Christmas
lovers
presents.
In your family.
Yeah, no doubt.
SprintCarStuff.com is the place to go. Check out mm-hmm. all of the great items up there. They're working on some remodeling a little bit of the museum up there, painting the walls and putting new flooring in and all this kind of stuff up there.
And they still got the Corvette and the Sprint Car to give away, right?
They do. The Sprint Car will be given away exactly 1 year from now. The Triple X chassis with the Al Parker racing engine, race-ready Sprint Car. And you can get signed up for that at winasprintcar.com to check out all of what that Sprint Car entails. And you can get signed up for that sweepstakes a year from now. Also, the Torch Red Corvette convertible, the Z06 Corvette with the Z07 performance package, and $25,000 cash to the grand prize winner will be drawn a week after the Knoxville Nationals this year. Go to winaz06corvette.com to get signed up for the beautiful Torch Red Corvette convertible.
That's going to be a convertible, and that's with the Z07 performance yeah. package on it yep. as well, right?
And I think they've got this convertible. You'll be able to see this convertible, this Corvette, before you draw for it this year.
Right, so. Right.
Anyway.
And let me express that there's a lot of merchandise that you can buy from the Hall of Fame store. There's so much going on up there, folks. All you need to do is go to SprintCarStuff.com and purchase your Christmas presents straight from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, because they've got a lot of great stuff up there, don't they, Kurt?
That's right. And it won't be long before they announce the poll winners of the non-wing, wing 360 and wing 410 poll awards and the inductees for next year's Hall of Fame. So that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Also, again, want to get this thing in. Monday night, they're going to announce the inductees for the CARB Hall of Fame. That'll be next March.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be posting who the inductees will be. I can't wait for that. So,
are you going to be the MC again this year, Kurt?
I think so. I haven't been formally asked, but I assume so. I hope so.
Yeah.
So,
you've been doing that for how many years now?
I don't know, but we did the very first one, you and I.
Yeah, right.
2004.
They've never asked me back, though.
Why is that, Scott?
Well,
because you were gone. You were out on the road covering ASCS sprint car racing. There was a lot of those events that you weren't able to attend.
You were rarely in town back in the day.
Oh, I know.
It was Todd and I.
Yeah. Me, Kirk, rolling yeah, thunder.
So, are we going to do any kind of broadcasting from that event?
No, we don't do that no more.
We don't do that anymore, yeah, right? I mean,
we're just going to go up and have a good time.
We had a lot of issues on our last one when we tried to.
Right.
It wasn't anything of ours. It was all in-house audio problems, and we were just like,
Could we do audio of it?
I think we're going to let Mike Kraft handle that.
Yeah, I think he's doing all
that. Is Mike Kraft doing it now?
I don't know.
All right.
They posted it last year afterwards, and it was all good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody did it last year.
No, but I don't know. I thought I saw some audio from that. Maybe not. But, yeah, that event was always fun to go out to. And like you said, things were different this year. This year I'm going to be juggling a lot of stuff coming up. So,
You've got a lot going on in your personal life, don't you?
Today I leave to go to Lawrence, the lead center, for my daughter's graduation. So, she's graduating with her
today.
Yes, I got
master's degree.
Her
right?
master, yeah, her advanced degree today. So her graduate's degree. So we have that today. And she said she's finished. That's it. No more college for her.
And your son's getting ready to go to college.
Yeah,
right?
we just did a big meeting online dorm. So Scotty Cook will like this. He'll probably be
going to MU.
He'll probably be going to MU and. He got accepted into the honors program, which is a pretty big deal. It puts you in the better dorm. That way, you're not dealing with you don't have to have a roommate. You might not even have a roommate. You might be able to be alone. So, which
right.
is pretty cool. And he gets a lot of the advanced stuff out of the way.
But
so,
you know, he's a good kid. He's not going to get into any mischief.
We're knock on wood.
Right.
Just knock on wood. So, but yeah.
Hopefully he's not like his dad.
Yeah, no, we know he's not like
his dad. He's a lot more mature at his age than you are even now.
Even now, exactly.
Right.
So, and then we have the big wedding coming in March. So, it doesn't end here in the surprise household, you know. I think me and my wife are going to try to, we might be heading to Key West come Chili Bowl time. Me and my wife were thinking about taking weekend trip down to Key West.
That is so funny that you mentioned. Because Dieter and I have been talking about going down to Key West. We watched this show, 90 Day Fiancé, and they had a little episode down there in Key West at a really nice resort, and we were thinking about going down there. But the problem is with the resort. Is that it's like $500 a night.
Oh, no, it's high. That's all we were talking about. We'll just probably do two nights and come back home.
And it'd really be worth it if it's snowing
here and
bad weather.
Our wedding anniversary, we had our 30th wedding anniversary back in September, and we decided, you know what, let's go somewhere warm when it's cold.
Right.
Instead of going somewhere warm when it's already warm here back home. So that's our plan. So, yeah,
well,
I think.
Well.
This would be my first Chili Bowl not taking care of Chili Bowl business at either some way or another. So,
well, listen, I plan on going to a lot of races this year.
You and I will be at the Chili Bowl, though.
Yeah, that's what I figured. You guys would probably be down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd definitely be down at the Chili Bowl.
Hey, I'm just going to finish up this CARB Hall of Fame. If you want to come and see the who the inductees are going to be, they put a post on the CARB Hall of Fame Facebook page. It says, time to determine the 2023 Central Auto Racing Boosters Hall of Fame inductees. Please join us Monday, December 11th at 6:30 p.m. at Christie's Clubhouse, 4729 Swartz Road, Kansas City, Kansas. Open to sealed ballots. That's when they're going to open the sealed ballots. Mm-hmm. Find out who the inductees
are. That'd be cool.
So,
yeah,
no
doubt.
That'd
be
real
cool.
Check that out. Snowball Derby, Scott. Man. You saw just some brief highlights. I was able to go back and watch the full replay. I'm disappointed because it was after the fact. We weren't able to come on Monday show to talk about it because they hadn't posted the archive up there. I was busy on Sunday and wasn't able to watch it live, but I purchased the broadcast for $50 from Racing America, thinking I could go back and watch the replay later that night after the football game. No,
there
wasn't up there yet.
There wasn't a replay.
I sent Racing America an email, and I did get a response back.
You did.
It said, sorry for the delay. You will have access to the replay. We can let you know when it is available. Our on-the-site team is making sure it is perfect before uploading. That was the response that I got.
Ty Majeski ended up winning that thing.
Didn't he? You know,
it was second time he's won it, right?
Second time in 4 years he's won it, and it was a great race. There was about eight laps that Ty Majeski on the outside and Steven Nasse on the inside were side by side, with some great racing going on with Bubba Pollard right behind. Well,
no, it didn't.
Nasse was able to get past Majeski. With about 10 laps to go, Bubba Pollard and Nasse got together and took each other out after Majeski had fallen to third. And after that restart,
Noah Gragson caused a wreck as well, didn't he?
Yeah, with about 30 laps to go, Noah Gragson missed a shift, and he admitted it after the race and piled up about half the field right behind him, including William Byron and Eric Jones got caught up in it. Yeah, Noah Gragson took all the blame for that.
Yeah,
but it was a great race, and congratulations to Ty Majeski.
Kirk, Hunter Robinson won the Snowflake as well, right?
Yeah, Hunter Robinson. The next day, they had that on Monday.
Right.
Because Saturday's events got wiped out by thunderstorms.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all been brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. In hour number two, again, we are still on the air on Facebook, YouTube. You need to come over there and watch hour number two. It's a little bit different than hour number one. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the High Limit Series, the World of Outlaws, and more in hour number two right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. For
Kyle
back at Sports Radio 810, for Todd Surprise here at RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network, want to say thank you for everybody